Thank you, Lord. We are continuing our series on the holiness of God. Actually, it's the will of God, but we've been talking about the holiness of God. And you know, we're going to pick up from last Sunday where we were talking about Nadab and Abihu. So let's go back to Leviticus chapter 10 and kind of read those foundation texts, the foundation text rather, Leviticus chapter 10. And let's begin with the first verse, reading down through verse 6, 1 through 6. Now Nadab and Abihu, sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it and laid incense on it and offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. And fire came out from the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, "This is what the Lord has said, among those who are near me, I might be sanctified." Miss Palmer shook her head. Hair almost came out. "I will be sanctified." I told you, that's a gangster statement. This is God Almighty saying, you come near me, you belong to me, I will be sanctified. And before all the people, I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. Remember, this happened before all the people. We'll get to that. Moses called Mishael, Elzaphan, the sons of Uziel, the uncle of Aaron, and said to them, "Come near, carry your brothers away from the front of the sanctuary and out of the camp." So they came near and carried them in their coats out of the camp, as Moses had said. And Moses said to Aaron and to Eleazar, to Ithamar, his sons, "Do not let the hair of your heads hang loose. Do not tear your clothes, lest you die and wrath come upon all the congregation, but let your brothers, comma, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning that the Lord has kindled." And we will stop right there. And we go finish that verse 7. "And do not go outside the entrance of the tent of meeting, lest you die, for the anointing oil of the Lord is upon you." And they did according to the word of Moses, who was following what? The word of God. All right, preacher. Find the word of God. That's a very unsettling account. But it certainly points to holiness of God. Certainly points to the holiness of God. Just kind of reviewing again, Nadab and Abihu were sons of Aaron, nephews of Moses, Aaron's oldest sons, newly ordained and consecrated to the priestly office. And just seeing the specific direct commands and directions that were given them because of their office ought to give anyone pause before we talk about going up before the Lord, coming in to worship him. Remember, when we come in to worship, we're coming before the Lord. And we're to be responsible, because whenever he doesn't burn us up, even though we've come in correct, count that as grace and mercy, not like everything is okay. They were newly consecrated, newly ordained. We read that in Leviticus 8. They were consecrated and they were ordained. The ordination took 7 days. They were well known. God had much honored them. We saw that when he called Nadab, Abihu, Aaron, and Moses. They were the eminent, renowned, prominent men amongst the people of Israel, as appointed by God. I want you to remember that. They were renowned. honored, and yet God did not hold back to take their lives. He could have said, well, I just went through this old ceremony. They did all I commanded it and did killed all these bull blood everywhere to consecrate these guys and to dedicate them to the priestly office. So I think I'm going to let them slide. Unless it's going to kind of look a little crazy. No. The threat is there. The warning. You come near me, you must hallow me. And before all the people, I will be honored. We talked about their sin already, offering fire that God had not commanded. We talked about the fire that came from down from heaven that is to be kept burning and not go out. That's the fire they were to use. Verse 2, they did not, and what happened because of it? Fire came from the Lord and consumed them. But consumed doesn't mean consumed, obviously, the bodies, because we saw in verses 4 and 5 that they were carried out, and 5, even their clothes were still intact. They were killed, struck suddenly with death. And notice how it keeps saying, in the presence of the Lord. When they died, they died in the presence of the Lord. So they're taken out. We see in the white space that, as we read last time, that we know that Aaron, brother Moses, his heart is disquieted, as well as I'm pretty sure Moses was too. And as we saw on Sunday, how did Moses approach his brother to quiet his heart? He told him what the Lord has spoken. What thus saith the Lord. He told him what God said. And what did the Lord say? We read middle of verse 3 again. By those who come near me, I will be treated as holy, and before all the people, I will be honored. The first phrase, I will be treated as holy, we're still reviewing, means that I'll be sanctified. What's the Greek word for sanctified? Hallowed. As in the prayer of the disciples' prayer, which was, they call it the Lord's Prayer, but it's the Lord teaching the disciples how to pray. And he opens up with the petition, with an address. The address is, Our Father who are in heaven. That's the address. Petition number one is, hallowed be your name. Now, hallowed is your name, and I know I repeat myself a lot, but I hope you can begin to hear some things with your heart. The first thing that the Lord teaches his disciples to petition our Father in heaven is that his name be hallowed, in the Greek, sanctified in Hebrew. First thing, hallowed in Greek, sanctified in Hebrew, all are the same thing. And when he asks for his name to be hallowed, that his name will be sanctified in all things that concern his worship, he is saying, let my name appear to be holy. Remember, it says, before all the people, I will be honored. So when you go out and live a life that honors God, it's before all the people, then God's name is hallowed. It's sanctified. It appears as holy through your living. Oh, that sounds a lot like be ye holy, because I am holy. I am the Lord your God. I don't care what day of the week it is. I don't care what time of the month it is. I don't care how you feeling. You may be having the most craziest day in your life, and you are not in the mood for nothing from anybody. You know what you don't have the right to do? Is to dishonor God's holiness with your thought, word, or deed. You don't get a pass.
That's right.
You don't have the right. He may let you go because of his grace and mercy, but you don't have the right to do that.
That's right.
And that's why the example of of Nadab and Abihu, we ought to take that, because he didn't give them a pass. And you know, there have been many, many theologians and seminaries, professors who've explained this away. You know, this is not the God of the New Testament. This is just an interpretation, a wrong interpretation by a bunch of Hebrews who aren't really the smartest crayons in the box, and they misinterpreted what God, or the guy just, you know, that guy just had heart attacks, and anything to not for anything to discredit or discount or not attribute to God wrath or anger. Because if you just read on just surface skim, it looked like God just got mad and just out of anger, just suddenly, capriciously, and whimsically just killed him. If I put my K-I-L-T, and killed him. You know what I'm saying? It's like he just went crazy. Nope. See how we've landed? We went over. Said, you come near me, I will be sanctified. And before all the people, I will be honored. You best believe that. And your office, you are just consecrated and ordained for this office. We taught you these things. And yet and still, before all the people, you thought you would do something a little different. Well, God, you could have gave them a break. They were just new. You know, some theologians say as soon as the day after they were consecrated. They brand new. They're young. They don't. No. The question not is, why did God do that to them? The question is, why don't we see more of that? Think about it. Why don't we see more of that? How many other sins were happening that day when he killed them? No, this is not a... See, our thoughts of God are what? Too human. That's us getting mad and just come out at someone. But that's not God. So he's saying, I will be sanctified in everything that concerns my worship. He's saying, I will be sanctified and I will have my name appear to be holy. I will be made known unto my people and to all the world that I am a holy God. That's why that's the number one reason for living a holy and sanctified, set apart life, to put his excellencies on display. Remember the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul in his letter to Timothy, I think, or Titus. He tells the young women to live right so that the word of God be not what? Blasphemed or evil spoken of, discounted, discredited. Do you know that shoddy living can cause the word of God to have no effect, to be disrespected and disregarded? The great word don't do nothing. Look how you live it. I talked to the worst, some of the worst words to hear, and you call yourself a Christian. That's some of the worst thing to hear. Because you know what they're saying. They're saying, you call yourself a Christian, but look how you're acting. Come on, somebody. Is God honored in that? Does he have the right to strike us down at that moment? Yes, he does. But here we are. He's merciful. It's not like, why did it happen to them? Why hasn't it happened to me? It's not, why did the plane fly into the towers? Why hasn't it flown into our houses? Why has it flown into more towers? Were folks in that tower of sinners above all? No. Best believe they weren't. It's God showing his holiness to all the world. So when he says that I will be made known unto my people and to all the world that I am holy, that's what he means when he said I will be sanctified. I will be known to all the world that I am a holy God. Listen to what God is saying. One way or another, I'm going to be known as being a holy God. Last note on that, then we'll pick up. Commentator says, I will be sanctified. That is, I will have my people to humble and carry themselves so as to hold forth their acknowledgement of my holiness, so as by their carriage or carrying out of their living, thinking, speaking, and doing, I may appear to be a holy God. I know it's repetition. It's your lifestyle. It's my lifestyle. It's our lifestyle lived out before a watching word for all the people that God is talking about, that I'm going to be established as a holiness, a God who's holy. Now, I have in my notes the next part. Here's a warning. I've kind of dipped on it a little bit. Here's a warning from the commentator, Jeremiah Burroughs. I will be sanctified by them, or otherwise, if they shall not in an active way sanctify my name. What does that mean? In an active way, sanctify my name. Yeah, lifestyle. You're not actively living this thing out that's causing God's name to be sanctified, hallowed. Okay? If not, if you're not doing an active way, sanctify my name. That is, if they shall not humble themselves so as to hold forth the glory of my holiness, then I will be sanctified upon them. So instead of you living for me and reflecting my excellencies, guess what? I'm gonna exhibit my holiness upon you. And I will humble and carry myself towards them so as by my actions upon them, I will make it appear what a holy God I am. And I have in my notes, that's exactly what happened to Nadab and Abihu. That's exactly what happened to Uzzah, who touched the ark of the Lord when it was about to fall. That's exactly what happened to Korah and his crew, who came up and spoke against Moses when God opened up the earth and swallowed everything that belonged to him. That's exactly what happened to Ananias and Sapphira. That's God acting upon them and making sure that his holiness is on display. So, God is going to be sanctified in two ways. This is straight gangster. One, the first way God is sanctified is through our living. The second way, if you don't live right, then you're going to see it through my wrath and judgment. Okay? So let's go over that a little slower. So God then is sanctified in two ways. First way is by the living out of God's holiness through the lives of his people. If I can get that on the big screen. Okay, let's see. Yeah, so hold on 1 second. Let's see what we got here. Oh.
Thank you, Father.
So God is sanctified in two ways. Okay. Okay. So the first way is by the living out of God's holiness through the lives of his people. Is that not a clear thing?
I mean, again, I go back to just you all who are parents. You have two sons and a daughter, right? They've been up under you. their entire lives. You bring them in the world, birth them, feed them, whatever. After a while, you start teaching them verbally, and of course, they start interpreting your actions too. So you go through those things. They belong to you. As a regular human being, human father, you expect your children to act a certain way because, boy, you got my name or my stamp is on it. I'm not going to just go for you to live in any kind of way. How much more your Heavenly Father? He said, I'm holy. Just like you said, well, you're a Horton or you're a Starks or you're a Word, you know, whatever it is. You said, well, you carry the last thing. We expect you to act a certain way. Well, the same thing as God. We are to live out His holiness through our lives. And yes, it is ad nauseum. We're going over and over again. But I want us to get that. We never have the right to take a break. In other words, we're carrying out in such a way that brings to the fore the glory of God's holiness in thought, keyword, thought, word, and deed. Brings to the fore, to the forefront, putting on display, you're exhibiting the glory of God's holiness. People ought to see it crystal clear. Have here, next thing in our notes, by the way, living out God's holiness begins where? In our hearts. Let's turn to 1 Peter. Let's turn to 1 Peter. I want you to turn now. I want you to look up here. Let's turn to 1 Peter. Chapter 3, verse 15. Mr. Clyde, you need some water? Yeah. Can somebody get... Uh-oh. Okay. Thank you. Shoot me to round there. 1 Peter, chapter 3, verse 15. Question again. Living out God's holiness begins where? In the heart. Amen, Glenda Jane. Right here. You don't want Pharisaical living. You don't want, I think I'll be around that, yeah. Pharisaical living. Pharisaic living is what? Anybody know what Pharisee living is? External. Yes, sir, preacher. It's just external, nothing coming from the heart. Remember the external of, well, if you don't have sex with a woman and you ain't committed adultery, we good. That's external. You ain't murdered your brother, good. So you ain't committed murder, you ain't committed adultery. But rage and anger in the heart, we don't address that. Lust in the heart, we don't address it. But Jesus said, but I say unto you. So holy living is going to begin where? In the heart. So 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, 1 Peter 3:15, regard Christ the Lord as holy. Look where it says it. Where does it say it? In your heart, you regard him as holy. Because if you regard him as holy in your heart, then what's going to happen? That's going to be lived out. Amen, Mr. Chris. Exactly right. It's going to be lived out here. You get the heart, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the body acts. So I love how the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Peter gets right down to it and says, in your heart, regard Christ the Lord as holy. And if you just think that all you got to do is just think that he's holy down in your heart and just feel good, then you're missing the whole point of the whole New Testament and Old Testament teaching about living things out. Always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that's given in you. So how do we regard Christ in our hearts? Here's a commentary. The saints are to sanctify God in their hearts when they fear God, because there's the reverence, as a holy God, and reverence him and love him as a holy God, and so sanctify him in their lives. When you reverence him and love him, what is love? What's the definition of biblical love?
Obedience.
Obedience. Bam. One word. If you love me, keep
my commandments,
which means to obey.
Jesus said, happy are ye if you
do these things. But if whatsoever of a good report and honest and lovely and so on and so on, he said, these things you've seen and heard of me, do practice these things. Be not just hearers of the word, but doers as well.
So he says that we are to revere him, love him as a holy God, and so sanctify him in their lives. When their lives do hold forth the glory of God's holiness, then God is sanctified. Translation, when we live out our lives according to the word of God in obedience to the Holy Spirit, then, he says, God is sanctified because our lives are reflecting the glory of God's holiness. It is on display. That's the first way. The first way. Living out through the lives of his people. The second way. The second way. So, but the second way. But then if we do not do so, then God sanctifies himself. That is in ways of, key word, judgment upon those that do not in ways of holiness sanctify his name. Judgment. When we don't live it out. Again, when he doesn't pass judgment on us, what has he just shown us? Mercy. Thank you, preacher. That's what I'm talking about. Mercy. Judgment is what we deserve. He ought to give us judgment, right? When he withholds judgment, then that's mercy. Mercy withholding what you do deserve, what we do deserve. Grace is the giving of what we don't deserve. So he doesn't give us he doesn't give us judgment. Instead, he gave us grace again. When some people say, well, you know, God is the God of the second chance. Well, amen, preacher. She's preaching in there. She just stole my thunder. Hey, even if he is the God of the second chance, how long ago did we use up the second chance? About 40 years ago? 50? Yeah, you know what I'm saying? When we were three or four, we probably used up the second chance. Preacher girl. So, yeah, thank God he's a God of the million chance. Here's the thing. Realize we're on borrowed time every single time. If I go home and die tonight of a heart attack, he would be just in doing so. He would be just in doing so. He said, I'm going to be, if you do not do it, don't do it the first way, live it out, guess what? You're going to see it. One way or the other. Let's turn to Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel 28. Mr. Clyde, okay. Okay. Ezekiel 28. Let's read it again. But then if we do not do so, what? Live out this life that reflects the glory of God's holiness, then God is not going to say, well, I can't be sanctified. Nope, I'm going to sanctify myself. How? In ways of judgment. Listen to all of that nice and slow here. What he's saying is that he's saying here, okay. What he's saying here is this. He said, then God sanctifies himself. Now, he's giving us a chance to do it in the first way, right? Through our living. But if not, then I'm going to show the world that I'm going to be hallowed one way or the other. You're going to respect me. You're going to know that I'm holy. One way or the other. They can be, the world can know it through righteous living of his people, but the people don't live righteously, then they're going to know it through judgment. But you're going to know that I'm a holy God. Look at Ezekiel 28, verse 32. And say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you. 28, 22? That's what I said? No, you said 30. I am so sorry. So, yeah, hold on. See, I'm gone. So, Ezekiel 28, verse 22. I said 32. I apologize. All right, thank you for your mercy. See, I need mercy too. I'm forgiven. See, I need it. Speaking of which, we need it, amen. Okay, 22, Ezekiel 28. And say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Sidon, and I will manifest my glory. Oh, look at that. I will manifest my glory in your midst. Doesn't that sound a lot like what he says right here? Then God will sanctify himself. I will manifest my glory in your midst, and they shall know that I am the Lord when I execute judgments in her and manifest, look at that, put on display my holiness in her. Do you see that? We ain't making this stuff up. That's the Lord speaking right now against Sidon. I will manifest my glory. I will execute judgments in her and manifest, put on display and exhibit and exhibit my holiness. When does he do that? When he puts on, when he execute what? Judgments. Do you all see that? When he executes judgments, then he is displaying he is holy. How? Because of the fact that he doesn't tolerate sin. Folks are going to know one way or another that he is holy. I'm going to say that again. Folks are going to know that he is holy one way or another. Period. This is what he has ordained from before the foundation of the world. You're going to know that I'm holy. I suggest we step up our holiness walk. Amen? Amen. Because we don't want the second way. Amen. Not executed upon us. Let us not add to the chorus of so-called people of God that are not living right. Let's not add to that chorus. Amen. I used to ask the Lord, help me not add to your quote-unquote headache of bad preachers, bad preaching, shoddy living from the pulpit. Amen. Help me to live righteous for real, for real. For real, for real. To be constant and consistent living in front of you and the watching world. I don't want to add to that. And I'm begging you, let's step it up. Think of what you could have done differently today, said differently today, thought differently today. Holy living. Holy living. Sanctify his name. Hallowed be his name through our living. Because the God Father is saying, folks gonna know that I'm holy one way or another. Is that a threat? It's a threat. It's a warning. Yes, it is. It's a threat and a warning. Look at Ezekiel chapter 38. Ezekiel 38. Ezekiel 38, verse 16. Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 16. Glory be to God. Is this making sense a little bit, Word of Life? Yeah. He just letting us know. I'm not playing with it. I'm not playing with it. Ezekiel 38. Did I tell you verse 23? 16. What in the world? Okay, 16. You're right. 16. Oh, boy. Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 16. And it reads, You will come up against my people Israel like a cloud covering the land. In the latter days, I will bring you against my land that the nations may know me when through you, O Gog, I vindicate my holiness before their eyes. What he's saying is that I'm going to let these folks come up against my people as a way of judgment for them not honoring and treating me as holy. God, he got to use gangsters, gangbangers, just bad people, marauders, pirates. I mean, just bad to execute judgment against his people. What do you think about Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian king and then the Medo-Persian king and the all those Roman emperor? All of that was judgment against the people of God. Matter of fact, I ran across the fact that in the day that King Uzziah died, remember that one in Israel? Guess what little village was just starting up on the day that this great king died? Put together by twins, started by twins, Romulus and Remus. Yes, sir, my preacher. I figured if you get them, you'll probably get that. Romulus and Remus, because that's such, unusual. Rome was starting up. And they brought the world changed when they came to power. And God allowed it. Judgment. He said, y'all acting up. Oh God, I'm gonna let y'all come on against my people, that the nations may know me. God is. It's not about you or me. I don't care what's happening in your life and how glowing things are. You better recognize that it's about God first and foremost. I'm making this happen so that the nations may know me. When through you, O God, why I vindicate my holiness before their eyes. Remember the statement about seeing your mother in hell? You'll see the vindication of his holiness. Whenever there's wrath pouring down, that's God vindicating his holiness. Let's put that up right quick so you can get the definition of vindicate. Vindicate. Okay. Vindicate my holiness. So vindicate means to confirm my holiness, to substantiate my holiness, to provide justification or defense for or to defend my holiness. I'm not going to let it just be sitting out there. I'm going to defend my holiness. And if it has to be that I got to bring a group of sinners against my people, then so be it. I'm going to be known as being holy. Vindicate. I vindicate my holiness before their eyes, because he says that everybody going to know me. They're going to know me. Before this thing is all said and done, every knee going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess that he is Lord. Yes. I have a statement here. See the bottom there? Can I go up some or no? Yes. God proves his holiness by judging sin. Think that through. God proves, he defends, he provides justification for, he confirms, he substantiates his holiness by judging sin. Does that make sense? If he's holy, then sin is an affront to that. You know, every time we sin, we're saying to God, hey, your command, it doesn't matter at this moment, because my greatest inclination or desire at the moment is stronger than obeying you. I want to obey my desires. See, we can be real holy in church and maybe right after church. I'm going to obey God. But you get out there and something happened. Does the right sandwich walk by? It's corned beef on rye with the pickle and the mustard, just like you like it. Walks right by. Next thing you know what? The strongest inclination at that moment, the strongest desire at that moment, it flips. I want that sandwich. Even though God said, don't eat that. I should not eat up the roast beef sandwich. Corned beef sandwich. You follow what I'm saying? Yeah, it says, drink water from your own cistern. Let your wife, let her breast please you. And you ought to let somebody else's breast. Well, looking at somebody else's breast, think about being pleased. You think that thought is honoring to God? Is that a holy thought? No.
Every time he gives us a break, recognize that's his grace and mercy. It never makes him any less holy.
Let's skip down to verse 23 of the same chapter, Ezekiel 38, verse 23. So I will show, and again, my greatness and my holiness, and make myself known in the eyes of many nations. Then they will know that I am the Lord. You're going to stop right there. Make myself known to many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Sounds to me, as we said earlier, one way or another, God is saying, I'm going to be known as being holy. Father God, I don't know how much we're getting in this, but I do know faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. So we're hearing and hearing and hearing. I'm praying that this is just seeping even into our minds, on its way to our hearts, and more importantly, being lived out before you, Father, and a watching world at large. Help us to put the glory of your holiness on display daily in everything we speak, think, and do. In Jesus' name, amen.